Jesus said, "But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Please be seated. I've always thought that Christians learn theology best through hymnody. When we sing it, we own it, right? It becomes part of us. It sort of runs in our mind, and it just lives there in our mind and in our heart. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church, said that the one who sings prays twice. And he listed music directly beneath theology as the queen of sciences. So, music, hymnody, choir, God bless you. Parish musician, God bless you. You help us to chant Emmanuel's praise, do you not? And we thank you for it. I didn't grow up Episcopalian. Started out Methodist down at First Church in Hickory, and then made a brief detour through the United Church of Christ, and then ended up an Episcopalian when I was in high school by hanging out with Episcopalians who dragged me to Camp Henry and then here. So here I am. But I remember a hymn from my more Protestant upbringing, if you will, that started off something like, "Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea," the sturdy dreamers answered, "to the end we follow thee. Lord, we are able." Isn't that what Jesus asked James and John this morning? Are you able to go all the way with me? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I must be baptized with? Not speaking of his baptism by John, but of his baptism in the blood of the cross. Are you able to drink the cup that I must drink? We're able, say James and John. We'll follow you all the way. We'll go with you to the cross. We'll go with you to our own cross. And of course, they didn't do it perfectly, and neither can we. But we still want to say, do we not, Lord, we are able. We are able, and not only able, but willing to go with you wherever you would have us go, knowing that you have gone that way ahead of us. It's interesting, you know, Mark was the first of the Gospels written. Matthew and Luke both contain about 85% of Mark verbatim. But in Matthew's rendition of this passage, it's not James and John who ask, "Can we sit at your right and left hand?" But Matthew has their mother come and ask Jesus, "Lord, we'd like you to do this for my boys, if you would, please. Would you please give James the right hand and John the left, or vice versa? But I want my boys to sit with you in your kingdom." Isn't that lovely? Looking out for her boys. But the call is to discipleship, is it not? Discipleship is an interesting word. I remember hearing much more about that in my Methodist upbringing than I have in my Episcopal life for the most part. But it's an essential word for us who would say, we are able, we'll follow you. And discipleship has its root in the word discipline. Disciples are under the discipline of a master, and they learn from that master how to live a way of life that perhaps they were not familiar with before. Jesus is inviting James and John and all the others and us into engaging a way of life that maybe we did not know all that well before. And so we need instruction. We need some discipline. We need teaching. We need a master to show us how we should go. We live in interesting times, do we not? I once heard that's an old Chinese curse where someone would say, may you live in interesting times. Well, curses and blessings are often balanced in this life, are they not? And we take the good with the bad, as did Job, bless his dear heart. Because we know that whatever comes our way, we're not in it alone. Whatever comes our way, we have one with us. And beyond that, we have each other, do we not? And the Christ that dwells in me dwells in each of us, all of you. The Holy Spirit who comes to me lives in each and every one of you. And together, we are able to follow Jesus, to be baptized with his baptism, to drink the cup that he must drink, and push through whatever comes this way, whatever comes our way, knowing that we are saved. Knowing that we are loved, and knowing that we have the high privilege of following Jesus on the road of servanthood. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now that many is what some New Testament scholars call a Semitism. That is to say, a Semitic or Jewish Hebrew idea implanted in a Greek text. And this Semitism of many means all who are many, rather than many who are part of the sum total. I like that idea a lot. All are many. Jesus came to save all, to serve all, to love all back into relationship with God through his atoning sacrifice on the cross, through his death, through his resurrection, and incorporating us into his work by our baptisms into that same death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what enables us to be disciples rather than just church members. It's easy to be a church member. You know, it probably requires more to be a Rotarian than it does to be a church member. In the Rotary Club, you have to make up meetings and show proof thereof, right? When you come back. We don't even require that much. But we're called to more than that. And we are empowered for more than that. We are gifted with spiritual gifts and charisms that are far beyond our understanding, truly, because we don't practice them enough. Jesus said that among the Gentiles, Some who they recognize as rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them, but it is not so among you. Because Jesus is inaugurating, through his death and resurrection, a new society. Indeed, a new humanity is what Paul will call the difference between the old Adam and the new Adam. The old Adam and the descendants of Adam and Eve, who were locked into the cycle of birth, decay, death. But the new Adam, the new humanity, inaugurated in the resurrection of Jesus, is locked into the new cycle of perpetual rebirth and growth and movement forward into the kingdom, making Jesus known and present wherever we go, because we carry him in us. He is alive in us. He is risen in us. So we can't be like those who lord it over our fellow human beings. We can't be like those who are tyrants or authoritarians. We can't be like those who lust for power's sake. We have received power and authority from God. And the power and authority we have received from God is the power and authority of love. The power and authority of servanthood. In this old Adam, new Adam motif that Paul talks about a lot in his epistles, he reinterprets the idea of freedom. Now, as Americans, we talk a lot about freedom, don't we? We think a lot about freedom and liberty and what that might mean. And often we think about it in terms of, I'm free to do anything I want to do as long as it doesn't violate some statute. So don't bother me with other possibilities. For St. Paul, freedom is that in Christ we have been set free from bondage to ego, bondage to sin, bondage to death, bondage to anything that is not of God. We have been set free so that we can choose to be slaves. Think about that. In our freedom, in our gospel liberty, we can now choose to be slaves of one another and of all of God's creatures. It's now a free choice that we didn't have before, because we were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to our own egos and the desires that come with it. We were enslaved to the culture or whatever. But in Christ, we have been set free. In at least one of his letters, Paul begins something like, I, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, and your servant for the sake of the gospel. A slave of Jesus Christ and your servant for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the good news, that freedom, liberation, true liberty is coming to every one of God's creatures by virtue of the death and resurrection of Jesus. In fact, it is ours now. It is our inheritance. It is ours forever. And we have the power and authority to use that gift, not to be served, but to serve. Not to lord it over our fellow human beings or other creatures, but to become their servants, so that the kingdom, the good news, the redemptive love of God revealed in Jesus Christ can move forward and forward and out in concentric circles until all of creation is brought under the sovereign love of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much about this that is mysteriously powerful. But God gives us this divine word so that we can understand what our part is in God's redemptive purpose. Because God has chosen us to be co-workers, co-creators, co-redeemers with God, moving the whole project forward. And God needs us. God wants us. God desires us to say, Lord, we are able. Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the end we follow thee. Lord, we are able. Give us the will. Give us the courage. Give us the hope to be agents of that grace in this world and in the age to come. Share with him in life everlasting. Amen.